Hey, it's Gabe. I want to recommend a podcast I think you'll enjoy called What Could Go Right. On What Could Go Right, the hosts, Progress Network founder Zachary Carabel and executive director Emma Varva Lucas, sit down with expert guests to discuss the world's most pressing issues. They look back at how far society has come and look forward to what it will take to achieve a brighter future. If you're looking for a weekly dose of optimistic ideas from smart people, listen to What Could Go Right wherever you get your podcasts.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that tallies the gains and losses of everyday history. I'm Gabe Lousier, and today we're exploring the legacy of the violent earthquake that rocked San Francisco at the turn of the 20th century. The day was April 18th, 1906. A powerful earthquake devastated San Francisco, California. The exact magnitude of the quake is unknown, as the Richter scale had not yet been developed. But seismologists now estimate that it was somewhere between 7.9 and 8.3. Wherever it fell within that range, it was enough to qualify it as one of the strongest and most deadly earthquakes in modern history. The quake was caused by sudden movement along the San Andreas Fault, the boundary line between the Earth's North American and Pacific tectonic plates. In general, the Pacific plate moves north and the North American plate moves south at a rate of about 2 inches per year. However, as the plates continue to shift over time, an enormous amount of tension is produced, and when that strain reaches a breaking point, the two plates abruptly lurch forward, overlapping one another and releasing a massive amount of pent-up energy. That's what happened at approximately 5:12 a.m. on April 18, 1906. The land on the eastern side of the fault, including the city of San Francisco, moved southward, while the land on the western side was pushed northward. The plates moved past each other by nearly 20 feet, producing a 40-second tremor known as a foreshock, which knocked over furniture and shattered glass all across the city. Then, after an eerily calm 10-second interval, an even stronger tremor struck, lasting about 25 seconds. Although the quake's epicenter was several miles offshore from San Francisco, it was powerful enough to be felt from southern Oregon to Los Angeles and as far inland as Nevada. Survivors reported seeing the ground move in waves, with some reaching as high as 3 feet. The city's streets and sidewalks split open, and buildings swayed wildly, shaking loose their brick facades and choking the air with thick clouds of dust. The violent shaking buried hundreds of people beneath debris, but far more deadly were the fires that immediately broke out all over town. Some reports estimate as many as 60 distinct blazes. They were caused by a variety of factors, including broken gas lines, overturned stoves, and fallen power lines. The fires spread quickly, as much of the city was composed of brick buildings and wooden Victorian structures. In some places, the flames reached temperatures of 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit, hot enough to melt glass and buckle steel beams. Firefighters sprang into action, but because the city's water mains had been ruptured, the hydrants produced little more than a trickle. In a desperate bid to contain the blaze, the fire department resorted to dynamiting buildings that were in the fire's path. The goal was to create gaps, or fire breaks, to stop it from spreading further. But because the civilian firefighters had little or no experience using explosives, the tactic often did more harm than good. Some explosions actually spread the flames, and in several instances, bystanders were caught in the blasts and either killed instantly or flung backward into the flames. Far more effective were the tugboats along the city's waterfront, which were able to feed the fire hoses by pumping seawater from the bay. As the situation grew more dire in the face of aftershocks, San Francisco Mayor Eugene Schmitz called in the U.S. Army to help with evacuations, to guard government buildings, and to restore order wherever possible. He also instituted a dusk-to-dawn citywide curfew and issued a controversial proclamation authorizing federal troops and city police officers to shoot to kill anyone caught looting or committing any other crime. The fires in San Francisco continued to rage for 3 days, but by the morning of April 21st, they had essentially burned themselves out. In that time, nearly 500 city blocks had been leveled, with more than 28,000 buildings completely destroyed, including most of the city's homes and almost the entirety of the business district. The damage was estimated at about $500 million, the equivalent of that year's entire federal budget, and more than $17 billion in today's money. The human toll was just as catastrophic. Approximately 300,000 people were rendered homeless in a city which, at the time, had a population of just over 400,000. And although early estimates placed the number of casualties at just under 700 people, the true death toll is now believed to be more than 3,000. Although nothing could be done for those who'd lost their lives, the survivors were met with an outpouring of support from other states and from foreign countries. The arduous task of reconstruction began that very summer, and thanks to a $175 million insurance claim filed by the city, many San Franciscans were able to rebuild their homes and businesses right away. The silver lining of the earthquake and resulting fires was that it provided city planners with a blank slate, allowing them to recreate San Francisco better than ever. The city's origins as a Western boomtown during the gold rush of 1849 had resulted in a somewhat arbitrary layout. Buildings and infrastructure had been added as needed and built with whatever materials were available. But with most of the city destroyed, planners were able to start fresh with a more logical design and more earthquake-resistant materials. The Great San Francisco Earthquake of 1906 wasn't the first or the last time that the city would experience wide-scale devastation. In fact, it had already burned to the ground 6 times between 1849 and 1851, leading the city to adopt the mythical phoenix as its official symbol. San Francisco has also dealt with plenty more earthquakes over the decades, including another major one in 1989. Today, the city finds itself struggling not with natural disasters, but with systemic ones: rampant homelessness, surging crime, and a growing wave of business closures. But if history is anything to go by, there's a strong chance that even if the boomtown of San Francisco goes bust, it will eventually rise again from its ashes. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully, you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you'd like to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. And if you have any comments or suggestions, feel free to send them my way by writing to thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Casby Bias for producing the show, and thanks to you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
you wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like...
Whoa.
And...
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have supervision, enhanced hearing, extraordinary reflexes, to be, dare we say, superhuman? Well, Roku's new Pro Series TV can't do any of that for you. But with a 4K screen, side-firing speakers, and a blazing fast refresh rate, it'll sure feel like it. Elevate your entertainment using all your favorite apps like iHeart and play all your music, radio, and podcasts with the new Roku Pro Series. Your senses aren't better. Your TV is.
An October morning in a quiet suburb in a town in Scotland, a man is walking his dog when suddenly shots are fired from a car. The man falls to the ground and the car speeds off. An ordinary residential area, but extraordinary things happen in ordinary places.
The instinct right away was it was a political thing.
We're talking about Russian-trained, high-ranking officer in the Secret Service.
An Assassin Comes to Town, a six-part podcast. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.